listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician. Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 208 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show, and today we're going to be talking about email marketing. It's going to be a good one. Oftentimes on the show, we talk about how important it is to build an email list, but one of the number one questions we get is, what do I do with that email list when I have it? Well, Cheryl Engelhart going to be on the podcast today talking about the 30 emails that you need to write. And this is a way to have a large group of emails that's going to be easier than you think, so hold on. A large group of emails that you automate to your fans so your email list is vibrant and works for you. I love programs that you can automate and have marketing that's working for you in the background constantly without you having to do a lot of work. There's some work on the front end to set it up, but once you do it, you know there's this nice communication program with your fans. And so we're going to be talking about that today, and you're going to want to take some notes. But before we get to that, it's been, you know, a little bit of time since our last episode of the podcast, a lot going on. By the time you hear this, I'll probably be on a plane to Spain for the first ever DIY Musician Conference in Europe. If you're in Spain or somewhere close by, you still have time to buy tickets. It's going to be a great event. Can't wait to be there. So we've been a little busy. Plus, my band is about to release a new album. And, you know, everyone knows what that's like. Your life's in shambles. To help us get a few more episodes cranked out, we have a handful of listener calls and emails to get to, but if we get a few more, we'll have enough for just a listener feedback episode, which are always very popular and exciting. So feel free to email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com with your questions or comments. It can be about this episode or anything else. I bet there'll be a lot of comments after this episode. Or you can call our listener line at 360-524-2209. And once Chris and I get back from Spain, we can dive right into all your questions and comments. All right. Like I said, you're going to want to get a pen and paper or whatever you take notes on for this episode. Cheryl Engelhart, she's an artist. She's a composer. She's spoken at the DIY Musician Conference many times in places like South by Southwest about marketing and composing and all sorts of topics. We've had her at our conference speaking about composing for film and TV, which she does. So she just has lots of great information about connecting with fans and creating music as well. She'll be back at the DIY Musician Conference this year in Nashville, so you can meet her there in person. You can find out more about Cheryl at cbemusic.com. And with all that said, let's get to my interview with Cheryl. Joining me on the line is Cheryl Engelhart. Cheryl, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. I'm excited to talk about what we're going to be talking about today with some marketing automation and some email strategy. In fact, when you and I were talking a few weeks back, this was something that was top of mind. I'm like, I just got to get off my butt and get this done. And so little do you know, you're really just here to help me. So, and everyone else gets to listen in.
Perfect. Great. I love it. It's my goal. Help one person at a time.
Yeah. I'm really excited to have you. We're going to be talking about some strategies, like I said, about email and how you've automated things. And this is something we actually get asked about from artists all the time with email. Like, they know they need to be communicating with their fans. And when there's certain obvious events happening, it's easy to think, oh, there's a show coming up, I'll email about that, or I've got a new release. But really thinking about a long-term strategy of how you can use that email automation, especially to build fans and create, you know, just diehard fans that have engagement without you necessarily having to do much.
Right.
So where do you want to start?
Well, I'll start with what email means for me, or at least used to mean as a musician, it was this daunting thing that I had to do at least once a month that I was supposed to do, like send out a newsletter. And if I wasn't on tour, or if, you know, if I didn't have anything going on, I would just make some stuff up and it would stress me out. And I would take like days to try to think about what to write. And then I would take a day to write it. And then I would take a day to format. It was just like a mess. And I was using MailChimp, which I love. I'm a big fan of MailChimp as a email platform. But I was spending a lot of time writing this stupid, you know, what I thought was a stupid email that I just felt like obligated to write, so to speak. And, you know, I started realizing over the past few years that there's an opportunity here. I kept hearing more and more just online and at conferences I was going to that email is like the currency. You know, MySpace went away, Facebook could go away, and all those likes, they're not going to mean anything, but an email you have and can keep, and, you know, all the other great reasons, you know, there's no, people aren't distracted by ads and other people's feeds when they're reading their email. Also, it's pretty much the first thing that most people do when they wake up in the morning is check their email. So you get to be front and center when you are sending, you know, your fans an email. So there are all these reasons, and it started to really listen to all of this stuff going on in the marketing world. And I kind of started dorking out on it. I mean, I'm already kind of a dork in general, but I have a background in advertising. It's fine. I self-proclaimed dork. I love talking about communication and how you communicate your brand and how you talk about yourself and how to make powerful requests. And that's something I can kind of get into for hours. But this email thing was kind of like a blind spot for me. So early last year, I went to some marketing conferences, like not music related at all. I felt totally out of my element. And I was like a sponge. I was absorbing all these different things, tools, you know, platforms to use. And I really fell in love with the idea of automation, which it's not a new idea, but it was new to me. And it's basically the idea that you do some work up front and then it pays off over time, which, hello, musicians, this is what we do. We make a record and we spend a ton of money and generally don't see any, you know, any results until that record is out, and then we're getting royalties, and then we're hopefully selling them and at shows, and the work is done. So this sort of fell in line for me in terms of how I've already been working from a creative standpoint. So then I was looking at, okay, how do I apply this to a fan base? So that's sort of where I got started in it. What was the question? I don't know.
I just said, where do you want to start? So I think we got it laid up. One thing that I think is interesting that you mentioned about email being the currency. And I think, you know, there's been periods of time where people are like, email's dead, much like they've said podcasting is dead many times. And that has continued to be proven wrong.
Whatevs.
Yeah, right? Continue to be proven wrong. And I think Facebook made some moves recently that emphasize this even more so than ever, where it's pretty much impossible without paying to advertise on Facebook for anyone to see anything you create there without you know, to reach your fans. And so really building an email list is still really important to act, like you said, have direct access to your fans with no advertising. Most people check their email first thing in the morning. And we've also moved a long ways away from the email newsletter. So that's one thing that as you listen to this and what we talk about, you got to get that Cheryl and I aren't talking about putting together an email newsletter that has like a newspaper front, you know, those old newsletters that I still get them from artists where they're trying to pack 10, 20 different facts about what's going on and make it look like a newsletter. And that kind of set that aside. And this is a different approach that I think is more effective.
Yeah. I mean, granted, if you are performing at the Grammys and you got a placement on Grey's Anatomy and like you've got like 10 awesome things that happened in a week, like you might need to write a newsletter of these 10 awesome things. But when that happens, it's super rare. So, yeah, we're not talking about the traditional like let's just find things to talk about. This is more about how can we connect with our fans? How can we engage with them? And when I say the word engage, I mean actually want a response and be interested in who they are. Because engagement over email is not, they can't click a like button or, you know, retweet it. They could tweet it out if you have the social sharing capabilities on the email, but it really is more of looking for a response or for them to click on something or to do something. So,
yeah.
So this is not like a billboard, like, hey, here's this, check this out. This is a, getting to know you. And there are a bunch of different ways you can do this. So, I mean, my strategy is sit down and write 30 emails. And I have an article up on the DIY Musician blog about how to break that down so it doesn't seem like a daunting task. And honestly, it is a daunting task. And I've been working on it for myself, too. And I've tried this with – I have a couple different lists, and it's really, really interesting. And the way I break it down is 10 of those emails are actually just stories about how you got started. And when I say story, not like – first, I picked up a guitar, and then I went to this school, and then I was in this band, and then I was in this band. But really looking at the transitions in your life, like when you had to make a decision, why did you make that decision, and how has it affected you today? Like, that's the stuff that people will relate to and gravitate to. If you get on my mailing list and you read my stories, it's about like these moments where I got really bored. And so I was scuba diving for the government. And then I was writing music for a website in Rome, Italy. And like, that's interesting. And for a while, I didn't actually think that was interesting because I got bored. But when you start telling your story in an interesting way, people start to get to know you and know what makes you tick. And, you know, you spread those out over a year, you know, 10 of those emails, like maybe one a month. You're really opening up to people, and then you're going to get that back. You're going to get responses back like, oh my God, I had this thing that I was like, and you just start to build those relationships, because ultimately that's what your email list is for, which we haven't said yet. Like, that's what it's for, is to build relationships. People who are in relationship with you are the ones that are going to spend money on your fan funding campaigns, who are going to come out to the shows when they've seen you before. They're the ones that are going to share on social media about whatever you've got going on. Like, that's what a relationship is, and that's what email is for, is to build those.
So for the conversation, we're basically going to break it down into two pieces. You've already started talking a little bit about how you sat down and wrote 30 emails. So the first half, let's talk about those 30 emails in detail. You have different, you know, you have different chunks of what you're going to write about. And then we'll go to how we're going to take all these emails and automate them. So when you're saying write 30 emails, it is really that, you know, you are saying, let's sit down and power through these emails. And a lot of them are things that you can write at any time. Like you mentioned, some of the story pieces, it's not like that's going to change. Which, by the way, I still haven't heard your whole scuba diving thing. I'm very curious about that.
Oh, but, Kevin, that's for another time.
Get
on my mailing list. It will be one of the first emails you get from me.
I'll have to sign up. So let's start with that. Like, break down the different groups you made for the 30 emails. And sure. Maybe some strategy you want to think about when deciding what those are and how you go about it. And then we can talk through those, and then we can move on to the automation piece after that.
Sure. So the 30 emails, we're just sitting down and writing these. So this isn't – we're not sending 30 emails. Basically, if you are on a schedule to send one email to keep engaged with your fans once every 2 to 3 weeks, if you write 30 emails, then you – and you schedule them out, you're set for a year, over a year, right? Which is kind of a cool thing if you can just sit down and do this work initially. And these are not long essays. These are just little tidbits into your life. So each one is just a moment. So the first 10, I say, they'll tell your story. And when I say the first 10, I mean the first 10 that you will write. We're not going to send these in order because we want to change it up. It's easy to start to tell your story and say, this moment was important to me, and then immediately start writing the second email, and then this moment was important to me. And you're sort of recalling your story and telling it over a series of 10 emails. This actually was the easiest one for me to write. I sat down and I did this whole thing in like 2 hours, and then I had my intern edit it, and it was like great. So this shouldn't take a ton of time. The next 10 are...
Real quick, before you move on to the next 10. Yeah. I just had a question on... how you framed those story pieces. Was it like left off as a to be continued, or were they just various slices that lived on their own?
Yeah, they are various slices. I think I should have had some of these up, but I start off by, once someone joins my mail list, I start off by saying like, I'm so glad you're here. I want to get to know you, and the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to share some stories about me and how my music career has been shaped and how I've got to where I am today. So that sort of sets it up, the whole series, right? And then, you know, I start with, okay, when I was in second grade, I learned early on that I was going to do this music career thing my way. How did I learn that? Because I was told I was going to be Cinderella in the second grade play. And then lo and behold, I didn't even get a stepsister. I was in the chorus, but I was the only eight-year-old who could play the piano really well because I was a little piano prodigy. Fine. And I ended up accompanying the whole performance, my second grade play, to this ball dance thing. And I was the one that got the standing ovation at the end because I was this. So I taught myself way back in second grade that I was going to do it my way. And if you look at my career, I'm doing a lot of different things. It's totally crafted by me. And it's, you know, so I sort of tie it in a nice bow at the end of it, being like, here's this funny story of like when I first learned that I can do things my way and I can get this, you know, this at the time it was the spotlight that I was looking for. It's not that anymore. But so that was a story that I told. And that's the first email. So I start sort of that young. You know, in that email, you also got that I started playing the piano when I was two. And like, so you get the story without me being like, my story is that I started playing the piano when I was little. And then it's an interesting way to sort of share the facts that people ask you anyway. So that's, I don't know, did that answer your question? That was sort of one example of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think artists can just think about interesting moments in their journey. And it doesn't have to be the, I was born all the way up until today. It could be just a slice of like what you were saying,
yeah,
when you were young,
totally.
Or it could be something that just happened. But yeah, I think that's a good way
Absolutely.
To frame it. Because I know we get questions about crafting a story all the time. And I think typically artists are trying, they try to frame it in the way of like this superhero story plot. And it doesn't have to be.
No, it has. It's transitions. I'm telling you, like the most interesting stories that you hear are because you're listening to someone transition from one point in their life to another point. The transitions are what that's the takeaway from this podcast, is that when you're talking about yourself, like talk about the transitions. If you're trying to tell a story, like that's where the interesting stories come from. And then what you learn from it, or, you know, you can add your spin. Sometimes a song comes from that time of your life, so you can, you know, that's a great way to like insert a link so that people can do something. They can engage with you in the story. They can go listen to that song, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, and they all connect. It's all you, so you don't have to, you can say to be continued. It's got to be in your voice, you know, so just be, you know, be chill about it. This isn't like a set in stone formula. This is something I'm still experimenting with and I've seen results from. So it's like, you do what works for you.
All right, let's move on to the next 10 emails. What should I've got those story pieces out of the way. What should I hit next?
Yeah. Yeah, so now we're going to sit down and write a list of your 10 favorite songs, maybe not even favorite songs, but 10 songs that have a story to them. Maybe you have some crazy story about shooting the music video. Maybe it's like the most passionate song about a breakup. Maybe it's you know, a song that you wrote for a nonprofit and you got to do this cool performance with. So, you know, or maybe you had this experience on stage when you were performing this one particular song, or it was inspired by a parent dying, or so like there's something that you wrote this song for a reason, or you had some experience with it. So these are the next 10 emails, one song per email. And of course, if you have a video or anything, you can embed it or link to it. In any time you are talking about any point of your music, make it easy for people. It's not going to come across as salesy if you link, do a hyperlink to the name of the song anytime you mention the name of the song, so that people can click on it and buy it if they want, and it without you even asking them to. Once they know the story behind it, it's going to be so much more interesting. And this is probably the third thing we want to talk about is monetizing this email list. But when you do it in a way where you're just getting to know them, then you're opening up and being vulnerable and sharing something, and you're like, and by the way, if you want to hear what I'm talking about, here's the link. Like, people will want that. So give them that opportunity. So that's the really simple one. So yeah.
It's hard for us sometimes to think about the intriguing things that are happening behind the scenes that might make somebody very curious about a song, or, you know, like you said, putting a link, and you're not asking them to go buy necessarily, or a bit doing the hard sell, but you've intrigued them with a story. They want to hear it now. We're working, yeah. My band's working on a new album, and there was a slight mutiny over one of the songs. But then we pulled it out of the crapper, nice. And so I'm going to tell that story, and I think it'll intrigue people to want to go hear it, because it was one of the guys actually said, I'm not going to play on this until we fix it. And so there was this little mutiny around the song.
Great story. Great.
Yeah.
The mutiny makes for a good story.
Then we came together and made it 10 times better than it would have been. And so, yeah, so those little stories like that are good way to intrigue someone to go listen to it. And it makes them have a deeper appreciation for the music.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are going to get peppered in eventually in between the 10 storytelling emails. You know, if this song, you may want to go about it, this whole thing, in a chronological way. So if you're telling a story about a song that's earlier on, you might want to weave that into the, it will be the email that's sent after your third storytelling email, you know. So you can sort of just, again, we're just writing these emails. We're not worrying about the order quite yet. So 10 are your story. 10 are stories about specific songs. The next, are we ready for the next five? The next five?
Yep, let's go.
The next five, I feel like this is like the wild card of five. I suggest, if you don't know where to start, is talking about what you love to do, like an insight into your day, something about what you love about touring. If you have a, you know, videos back behind the scenes, this is an opportunity for something that's maybe not song specific, but just more insight to you. It can also be a highlight if you're in a band or you play with musicians regularly. Like, I toured with the same four guys for 6 years. And, you know, I haven't been touring with them for the last three. They've sort of gone on all to big, better, famous things. But, you know, it would be great. And one of my five emails is like, here's an update on the guys. Like, Mike is the drummer in Lake Street Jive. And, you know, this guy is doing this and this is doing this. And it's like a really... it's a really cool way to keep the fans connected to the live performance. So you could do, a spotlight on this member. Or if you have a booking agent or someone on your team that, you know, no one may know about, be like, hey, do you know that this person is, like, working really hard for us? So it's really more of an insight into you, into the band, into some personal stuff that they may not be able to find anywhere else. And it's also something that's not time sensitive. So this is like a pro tip. Ideally, you're not going to say, come to our show on February 23rd, which is my birthday. Instead, you might say, come to our show, or check here. Here's the ticket link and link to the show's page on your website that you know is not going to change, right? Because it's the URL stays the same. Because when you automate this, people might be getting it at different times. We'll talk about that in a second. So anything that's not really time sensitive that can be a, you know, a throwback, a look into you, an insight into something that you love. I think Instagram is a great platform for this sort of real time, it feels very organic and authentic and in the moment sort of thing. So it's kind of like the email version of Instagram, right? It's kind of just an insight into you, and it's real. So that's the next five. So you can do a variety of things with those five. The last five, and that would add us up to 30 here, is writing five different emails asking your fans something, asking them an opinion of something. I love if one of or two of these is a poll, like asking them their opinion of songs you want them to cover, or asking their opinion of songs they want you to cover, pronouns, and... you know, asking what their favorite song that you already play live is, what the next video should be. If you're doing some new arts or want to design a t-shirt, asking them what their job is, like who are your fans? Like, if you don't know this information, like, ask them, where do they live? I mean, you can get this data pretty easily now, but this might be something that you can ask them. So whatever it is you don't know, ask them, or something that you are not sure of, like, how should I move forward with this thing? Ask them. I mean, one of my favorite fan interactions with my email list is when I got invited to play a festival in Switzerland with my band, and I was doing the whole starving artist, I barely can pay my $500 rent in Harlem thing. And I was like, how am I going to fly four of us to Switzerland for this festival? Because costs were covered once we got there, but not flights. I wrote my email list and I said, does anybody have miles that they're not using, like, from work? Like, what are your jobs like? Is this a thing? Like, is this a thing that people have miles that they don't use? And I got so many responses with people that mean, like, mine are about to expire. Let me send them to you. And, like, there's some fees, you know, blah, blah, blah. But for about $300 worth of fees, I was able to fly three of the four of us over to Switzerland from fans' miles. And my fan list is not thousands and thousands of people. So It's one of those things where, like, if you're curious about your fans and are open to asking them, like, people will be psyched to show up and be a part of whatever it is you've got going on.
Yeah, I like this idea of this group of emails because I think that's something that, one, artists don't do enough, and that is asking their fans about themselves so they can give you more data about who's in your audience. But then also it's just like it's an easy way to start crafting some content that is geared more towards them as opposed to just output of here's me, here's what I've got going on. But it kind of makes you frame things in a different way so that, you know, you're kind of trying to add some enjoyment to their day by maybe, you know, getting them talking about something or weighing in on a topic. Or I like the idea of polls a lot because I think that's something that can give you useful information, but also people enjoy taking part in.
Yeah. Like what platform do you like to listen music on? Like, is it Spotify? Is it Pandora? Is it, you know, cassette tapes? Like, how do you listen to music? Because if you don't know this and you're spending all your time trying to get on Spotify, but none of your fans are on Spotify, then, and you have a bunch of vinyl loving fans, then you are taking actions that aren't going to be effective. So you can totally get a lot of data. We love data. Data's great.
All right. So we've got our 30 emails. We've written them. It took us a week to do. We're all ready to go. And now,
I mean, got to do it.
So now what do we do to automate all this stuff? How do we go? You mentioned MailChimp, and I think that's a pretty good one to start with and try out. I know they've got some great tools. And if your list is below a certain level, it's I believe it's still free. It used to be free under 2,500.
Yeah, it's free I think it's free up until 2000 for MailChimp.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I know stuff changes all the time. There are a bunch of different platforms for hosting a mail list. And the big thing is just to do the real simple version. If your platform doesn't offer this automation, which we'll get into in a second. If you have these emails written with the hyperlinks and everything ready to go, and you write in your calendar every 2 weeks, like a little event, spend maybe 1 hour, format and send newsletter, then you have them written. It's not going to take the days to think about, the days to prep and to format and to write and blah, blah, blah. So even if you just get these things written and you only take 20 minutes to an hour once every 2 to 3 weeks, it's still going to be so much less time and so much less work, and you'll be able to send this out to your mail list. So that's the very, very, very simple version. You can do that on literally any email platform. Any email platform is just send an email whenever you want. So that being said, the programs that are doing automation allow you to upload all these emails and sort of draft each email. So you have your 30 emails, and then what it says is when a subscriber joins, or you can start with the current list that you have, as soon as they join, ideally, you guys, you are giving them a song or two or a bundle of songs in exchange for their email to sort of say, hey, I value your email. I'm not going to take advantage of it. And to show you that, I'm going to give you something for free as well. So they're going to sign up. They're going to get a welcome email from you that will have the link to download the free songs. And then you can, follow up a day or two later and say, I'm so glad you're here. Like I said before, like set them up that they're going to receive emails and updates from you and that you're going to be sharing your story over time. So then what you can do in your program is set the next email to go out 2 weeks later. And then have it so that every 2 weeks, automatically, that subscriber will get your email number one, email number two, all the way up to email number 30. What I would do is schedule those so that they're on the same day, like Tuesday, so that if you do get something really awesome, like you're going to do this cool show or you've got a CD release, you could send an email on like Friday or Saturday and know that someone is not going to get two emails from you in a day. So I do that as well. So the idea is that people will be in different points of your email list. So say someone signs up today, they'll get in 2 weeks email number one. If someone signs up in March, they'll get email number one in March. And then they just go through the whole cycle. And then after a year, it's time to, collect your stories and see if you can add some stuff and you have to, create it again or send them through again. Or, there's a lot of options once that's over. But that is the gist of it. It's basically you upload all of these emails and you schedule it so that you're not actually scheduling the email. You're scheduling it from a date from when that subscriber first does something, like signs up, or, you know, there are some triggers is what they call it, that will have that email sequence start. Was that clear? I don't even know if that was clear.
If you're in an email program, sometimes they call this autoresponders, or you might see it listed under autoresponder programs. I forget how MailChimp has this. I haven't done a program like this in MailChimp. We use to manage our email list here at CD Baby, we use a different service, and you can schedule out program like you're saying. The one thing I would say is that depending on what service you're using, you might want to poke around a little bit, because you could just technically upload all these emails and schedule them out. But you're actually, like what you're saying, the key thing is, if someone signs up on my list today, they get dumped into this campaign. Some places call them drip campaigns. That's another term you might see for them. And so the beauty of it is that you can stop worrying about having to send email once you've done this. And then you can just focus on maybe building your list and going back to playing music. And not like you're saying, wasting time.
And you know that people are going to get the whole story. So if you were to just send these out, like you're going to send out email number one today, and then you're going to send out email number two in 2 weeks, and someone joins next week to your mailing list, they're going to start hearing about you through email number two. They're going to miss email number one. So when you automate it in this way, meaning they get started at the beginning of the sequence or the drip campaign or whatever you want to call it, then you know that everyone is getting everything. And then there's like this common denominator of knowledge, you know? And that's a cool thing to sort of know, that all of your fans are getting this information at some point. And they're not going to get to the, you know, email number five in your story until they've read 1, 2, 3, 4, which is, I think, really sort of a cool thing, and it really helps craft those stories.
Yeah. And I like the tip that you said, you know, making it all happen on, say, like a Tuesday. And so you're aware that, hey, Tuesday, I should probably be a little bit more attentive to my inbox, and that I should be aware that people could be saying and asking a lot of random questions, or that taking activities that I've asked them to take, they're not all going to be in the same spot. So it's just something that you might have to cover some bases. Of, you know, if you're asking people to weigh in on a topic, it's good that you're there to engage with them. If you've asked them to go to your website and weigh in on something or whatever, just it's something that you just, it makes it easier to make it a rhythm, and it gets over the dreaded, man, I got to write an email today. And then you waste half a day trying to write an email, formatting it, and then it becomes more of a challenge to keep going.
Totally. And the thing that I haven't said yet, but I think is really important, when you are being authentic and telling your story and giving them an opportunity to engage, meaning putting in links and not being afraid that they're going to think it's salesy. Like if you're talking about a song, they're going to want to hear it. I promise you. Like that's what's going to happen. But don't be afraid to take five of those emails and in there be like, hey, how do you listen to music? Because right now I'm doing a hard push on Spotify, and I want to make sure that this is the right direction. Did you know that I have a Spotify channel? Would you go follow it? And actually be really direct with what you want people to do, so that they're not wondering, is this like getting to know you? Is this salesy? Oh, this is an artist like doing what artists do, which is promote themselves. So don't get wonky about selling, because if you are really deliberate about it, it's going to come across as powerful, and people are going to either want to do it or not, want to buy it or not, want to go like your thing or not. So we're not doing that in every email, because that would be overkill, and that's what we want to avoid. But, I talk about pitching a lot, and I have a whole course on perfect pitch that has nothing to do with your training. But I can dork out on this forever too, about really powerfully asking for things so that you get results. Like my getting my band flown to Switzerland, that was a really powerful, clear request. Like, is this a thing? And would you be willing to work with me on this? Yes.
Yeah. And I think what's great about the idea of sitting down and writing a bunch of emails all in one point is that you get a sense for the overarching experience that your fans are going to have. And I think a lot of times the experience they get is just very random messages. I know I'll be on a fan, an artist email list, and they'll, outside of the newsletter thing where they're trying too hard to make it feel like a newsletter with a lot of just newsworthy items that may or may not really be newsworthy, then there's a lot of times they're just sending me in so many different directions, where when you write them all out like this and program them out, I think it helps you see how the tone of your communication is and helps refine that and simplify knowing that, hey, I don't need to ask them to click on 100 things this email because I've got another one a week later, and being able to add that strategy to it a little bit more. And, you know, I love the idea of turning it on and, you know, knowing that that marketing channel, the most powerful one that we as artists have typically is the email list. And it's like, we know it's taken care of and we're not neglecting it because I'd rather the artists neglect Twitter and Facebook than email. Yeah. And they're loving it. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I love the thing that you said was like, if you're always sending on a Tuesday, you know, to like check your email, you might need to respond, because if you're asking for people to write back to you, or you're writing something so engaging that they automatically write back to you, you're going to want to sure as heck make sure that you write back to them if they write to you. Even if it's thank you so much for sharing your story. You don't have to like, you know, write essays back to people. And I know that sometimes you can get overwhelmed with responses and replying to responses. You're like, wait, I thought I set up this automated thing and I don't have to, it's automatic. I'm not supposed to do anything. But don't let it stress you out. Just, you know, just acknowledging that someone took the time to write to you is great. And I think that that's a really good thing that you put in, is like that's what we're going for here. So you got to keep the follow-up going. And I think that makes a lot of sense. So scheduling out an hour every Tuesday just to, in case you get some responses, is a really great thing.
Yeah. And I know that you mentioned just scheduling them on a Tuesday, but I would say that at least here in the US, what we see here at CD Baby is that the highest level engagement with email tends to happen, you know, Tuesday through Thursday, sometimes Monday. And so you want to schedule around that. If you're sending your emails on Sunday morning, you'll probably see less engagement from your fans. So it's nice to, Tuesday's a good day to target because it sets things up for the remainder of the week and the weekend if there's any gigs or anything. But then, you know, like Thursday's a good alternate day if you've got some special email you need to send in order to, you know, inform people about a show or something that you know is not going to get in the way of your automated program, like you mentioned. That's always something to keep in mind.
Totally. Yeah. And Tuesday through Thursday are definitely the days. I sort of just threw out Tuesday because I just threw out Tuesday.
So, it's a good email day.
Yeah. You can test it. So you can actually have them all set up for Tuesdays and then run that for a month and then shift it to Wednesdays and check out the engagement. Are more people opening on Wednesdays? And I mean, I'm a big fan of testing everything. MailChimp allows you to A/B your subject lines, you know, see which ones get more opens. Like I test my landing pages for the courses I offer musicians. Like I test everything because I may think something's awesome, but I don't know if that's what everyone else thinks. So definitely I'm a big fan of testing and then choosing the winner and looking at the data. Again, you guys, I'm a dork, so this stuff comes in handy sometimes.
Well, it is good. Like if you get decent amount of traffic to your artist website, looking at the data there, you should have, I highly recommend adding Google Analytics to your website if you haven't already. But if you look at the data there, you might find some natural traffic patterns with your fans. Cheryl, you might find this interesting. We just discovered that in Latin America, for whatever reason, on our blogs, we get a huge spike in traffic on Monday, but the rest of the week, it's not as high. Where in the U.S., it's very much a bell curve through the week, Tuesday through Thursday. So like I said, it's like starting Monday afternoon and diving down into the weekend. But we were sending our emails in Latin America on Tuesdays and Thursdays and such, like we do in the US, and the open rates weren't that great. We moved it to Monday and doubled the open rate. And for whatever reason, in Latin America, Monday is the day. So it is definitely worth looking at the data, because you could start a program and feel like, man, this isn't working as good as I thought. And it could be just moving a day makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So it's worth looking into all that. All right. Well, do you have any final tips or tricks or words of advice for artists who want to tackle this and get a program up and running?
I would separate the content from the tech, because I think that both of them can be overwhelming by themselves, but when you try to do them together, it becomes like this massive daunting task that is like not a priority because it's not directly making you money. It's not directly getting like it's kind of it can be daunting. So if you just sit down and deal with the emails and like write them on paper or just write them in a Word doc or something, then worry about formatting them, figuring out your email program, the tech stuff behind it. Like those two things use really different parts of your brain to like manage the tech and the logistics, and it gets a little mathy and all that stuff versus just letting yourself flow and tell the stories in your own voice. So I would just say don't overwhelm yourself trying to do it all at once. Just separate those two tasks out and get one done and then the other, or depending on how you're feeling, like figure out the tech first and then just know what you need to plug in. So that would be my last bit of advice, I guess.
I think that's good advice because I find myself like I'll be somewhere and have an idea. Oh, this is a good idea for an email. I need to get this sent out. And then instead of just writing it out, I'll open up MailChimp and now I'm in design mode and moving things around mode. And a lot of times I'm like, what was my good idea? I can't even remember now at this point. And it doesn't seem as good anymore because I've lost the inspiration. Instead of capturing the inspiration in a format, like you said, a Word doc or some sort of note program, and just getting that down and then messing with the tech later, because I think a lot of times the creativity gets squashed by tech.
Totally.
The one thing, if you're in a Word doc, it'd be real easy to start writing a book. Don't do that. Keep it short and brief. And, you know, it can be a couple sentences. It does not have to be this big statement from you as an artist, especially when you're doing that fan engagement stuff where you're asking a question or a poll, just like, hey, I was just wondering, what do you think about this? Let me know here. And that kind of stuff can get far better results because easy to read. They can click and move on.
I mean, if you wrote some cool long essay, like I went to Israel last August and had some crazy ass experience there, and I wrote a very long essay on the experience and what I learned and what it was like to be booed off a stage and all this jazz. And it's a 15-minute read according to Medium. So of course I'm not going to put that in an email, but it was a huge turning point for me as a human being, let alone a musician. So of course that's going to be one of my emails. I'm just starting with the first two paragraphs of that. And then I'm saying, you want to read this whole essay? Here's the link. So you can do that too. If you really have a story you want to tell, go post it on a blog or on Medium or somewhere. And you can link to it. And then it's not like an overwhelming scrolling fest in their inbox.
Yeah, because that stuff looks even bigger on a mobile device when there's a lot of text. It feels like, my goodness, when will this end? But yeah, I'll have to read that story.
It's a good one.
I don't think you've lived until you've been thrown off the stage at some point in your music career or booed off the stage.
Or start an international
incident. Where can people find out about what you're doing? I know you have some programs for artists, and then you've got your own music, and you do a lot of writing for TV commercials and such. Where can people find out more about what you're doing and such?
Everything that I do lives at cbemusic.com, and that's my Instagram handle, that's my Facebook page. Twitter is CBE. And no, I am not an airport code, but that's all the music stuff. I mean, you can get to anything, my music resources and everything through there. But that branch of what I do is called In the Key of Success, and you can go to inthekeyofsuccess.com. There is a free pitching checklist on how to pitch more powerfully, like pitch your music to people or pitch anything, really, a marriage proposal, use this checklist. It will go really well. So you can download that for free, and that will actually get you on my musician mailing list. I have a fan mailing list and a musician mailing list. So you can sort of see what I do. And I'm always a fan of people, you know, using what I do and for inspiration or motivation. I'm very available on email. So once you're on that list, you're sort of like in my tribe. So, but yeah, CBE Music and In the Key of Success are the two spots where I kind of hang out on the internet.
All right. Well, I'll post links to that on the podcast website in the notes section for this episode. Yeah, thank you for being on the show, and maybe we'll see you back at the DIY Musician Conference again this year, if you'll have us.
Oh yeah, thanks. I would love to be there. I really appreciate being here. Thank you for listening to me gab about this stuff and be a dork. I love people that let me be dorky. Thank you.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Again, I want to thank Cheryl for being on the podcast. Check out cbemusic.com. to find out more about what she's doing, her different resources that she has, and more about what type of music she works on. If you get a ticket for the DIY Musician Conference in Nashville, August 24th through 26th, you can meet Cheryl in person and talk to her more. And you can get your tickets at DIYMusicianCon.com. And the early bird tickets are sold out. So if you want to still save money, get that $99 ticket before the price goes up again. So just head on over to DIYMusicianCon.com. And don't forget to call our listener line at 360-524-2209 or email us at podcast@cbbabypodcast.com. And that's going to do it. Time to get on that plane for Spain. See ya. Bye. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.